beams seemed to interfere with their shortwave comm units. They rose quicker, only slowing down at the end. Maddox, Meta, and Riker entered the glowing bulb section of the ship, floating into a metal room with a bench and a screen on the wall. The opening closed, and each of them gently landed on the floor. "This," Riker said. Motion caused them to stumble and the sergeant to quit talking. Maddox regained his balance and went to the bench, sitting. Meta and Riker followed his example. A second later, the screen flickered. They saw mountains and fern forests below. The scenes swept by faster as the craft picked up speed.
"Mighty big of them to let us see where we're going," Riker muttered.
"Look,"
Meta whispered. Maddox noticed all right. The ferns disappeared. In their place were the odd dirt structures he'd seen earlier. Instead of ferns, the mountains and then a plains area had millions of earth towers. Among them scurried masses of swarm creatures.
"They're endless," Meta whispered.
They watched for 10 more minutes, absorbed with the scenes before they started to become monotonous.
"Why is the pilot showing us all this?" Meta asked.
Maddox had no idea.
"Finally," Riker said. "Something different."
The dirt towers and bustling swarm creatures reached a vast dome, possibly 20 kilometers in diameter and nearly as tall at the top.
"It's shimmering," Maddox said softly. "We're heading straight for it," Meta added.
"Maybe it's a force field," Maddox said.
The saucer didn't slow down, but zipped through the dark force field, if that's what it was, and hovered over an area of box-like metal structures. The star no longer shined in the sky. Both had vanished. Instead, diffuse light glowed from the force field. The saucer began to descend toward the largest structures, an area dilated open into what looked like an underground hangar. There were other parked saucers settled into huge holders. Theirs floated past them until it hovered over a dark opening in the floor.
"I don't see anyone waiting for us," Maddox said.
The original entrance in the saucer floor opened. At the same time, the bench began to ease into the floor. The three of them stood. Then, the floor began to shift under their feet, angling toward the opening, becoming steeper and steeper.
"Maddox!"
Meta shouted. He grabbed her hand. Afterward, the three of them lost their balance, sliding down the floor toward the opening, falling out of the saucer toward the darkness below. Chapter 41. Maddox tried to hold on to Meta's hand as they kept falling, but something pulled them apart. They kept staring at each other for as long as they could. The force pulling Maddox yanked him in one direction and Meta and Riker in another. He continued to fall, but his rate of descent slowed. A new force tugged at his EVA suit. In a moment, it tore off him, along with the helmet, backpack, kislak, belt, pistol, and knife. He maintained his Star Watch uniform and boots. At that point, Maddox slowed even more. He tried breathing and began coughing and wheezing at a harsh metallic stench. Mists wafted against him. Cold air blew, and then hot. Meta and Riker had disappeared some time ago. At last, Maddox floated down toward light. He saw a cubicle waiting for him, one that lacked a top. Gently, he floated into the cubicle, watching a glass top slide into place. The chamber was 20 by 20 and contained a cot, sink, and toilet. Was this a prison? A green gas billowed up from the floor. Maddox held his breath as long as he could. He inhaled finally, smelling the awful gas. He swayed and realized he was about to fall. So he stumbled to the cot, toppling onto it as he passed out. Maddox opened his eyes. He lay face down on the cot. He felt fine and heard nothing. Slowly he sat up. The sight startled him. He was in a long row of glass cubicles. Behind them were more rows, hundreds, maybe 1,000. Many of the cubicles contained a single being. Many of those occupants were swarm creatures of varying shapes and sizes. A few were little people, as he'd observed running the bulldozer.
"Hello, Captain."
Maddox whirled around. Professor Ludendorff sat on the cot in the cubicle next door. The professor had longer hair than he recalled, and the man wasn't as tanned as when he'd been aboard Victory. His clothes looked disheveled and worn. "Are you another android?" Maddox said. Ludendorff frowned, shaking his head.
"I have no idea what that's supposed to mean. You look well enough. Did you hit your head coming in?"
Maddox ingested the professor's words. He stood. Whatever the gas had done to him, it hadn't left any after effects. He approached the glass, separating them. "Is there a speaker?" the captain asked. Ludendorff pointed to the left. Maddox found a clear-colored speaker grill that barely differed from the glass. The captain retreated to his cot and sat down. His legs felt a little shaky. Maybe the gas had affected him after all. He glanced at Ludendorff. "What is this place?" Ludendorff shrugged in a disinterested manner. "Are you an android?" Maddox repeated. The professor scowled.
"Your questions imply you've met androids before that looked and acted just like me."
"More than just androids," Maddox said, "but also a hologram with your engrams running it." Ludendorff looked away as if pained. "Are you pretending to be the real Ludendorff?" Maddox asked.
"No."
"Oh?"
"I am the real Ludendorff. There is no pretense to it."
"I see," Maddox said. "Well, if that's true, why did you rush out to the asteroid in the Xerxes system? I never did understand that."
"Clearly it was a mistake," Ludendorff muttered.
"No, not really," Maddox said. "The rest of us made it out of the Xerxes system. The android posing as you brought a swarm builder device out of the asteroid that helped us defeat the destroyer."
"I am glad I could be of assistance," the professor mumbled. "It sounds as if you finally found out the android was an imposter."
"We did." Maddox looked around again. "Who runs the prison?"
"You are mistaken,"
Ludendorff said, who still stared elsewhere.
"This isn't a prison."
Maddox mulled that over. "Is it a zoo?" Ludendorff finally faced him with a hint of excitement.
"You always were a quick study, my boy. It's not exactly a zoo, but a laboratory."
"Who runs it?"
"That should be obvious. A builder."
"The mysterious builders," Maddox said. He smiled faintly. Ludendorff noticed. He rose quickly, walked around his cot several times, and finally ran his fingers through his hair.
"I've been here a long time," the professor said. "It's been discouraging, to say the least. The builder was quite curious."
"Are you saying you've been in this glass cage for all these months?" Ludendorff nodded. "Then all the androids I've seen of you..."
"The builder used them."
"Why?" Maddox asked. The professor snorted.
"Isn't it obvious, my boy?"
Maddox shook his head.
"You've piqued its interest."
"Just me?" Maddox asked.
"You and Starship Victory. The AI is much more powerful than you realize."
"Dana uncovered extra computing power."
"Ah,"
Ludendorff said, sitting again.
"Maybe you do realize how powerful Galleon is. How is Dana?"
"I don't know." Ludendorff seemed crestfallen.
"She didn't join the expedition?"
"An android of her certainly did," Maddox said. Concern crossed the professor's face. He brushed that away with his hand. Afterward, he tapped his chin, finally nodding.
"Tell me what happened since the Xerxes system. Then I'll answer what questions I can."
"I'd prefer you to answer my questions first," Maddox said. Ludendorff straightened, and some of his old personality seemed to assert itself.
"I am the oldster here, my boy. I have far more secrets than you do. Thus, we shall show deference to age. I've wasted away in confinement far longer than I've ever had to endure. It's taken you ages to get here. My curiosity is burning out of control. Our time could endure for years, or it might be over in a moment. Well, never mind about that now. Tell me about the Xerxes system, my android double, and the alien destroyer. I've wondered about the destroyer until my head felt like it was going to implode.
Maddox eyed the man, trying to decide if this time he looked like the real Professor Ludendorff. He gazed at the other cubicles, at the swarm creatures. Some spit at the glass. The black gunk didn't acid burn the glass, or whatever it was, but slid down onto the glass floor, soon draining away. That reminded Maddox of the alien destroyer's spongy floor. With a shrug, Maddox began to tell the professor of the battle against the alien destroyer. He included what others had told him, adding Strand's part in the cloaked star cruiser. Ludendorff sat on his cot most of the time. He raised a knee, holding it with his hands as he leaned back. The professor grinned at times, scowled and laughed at his favorite moments. He was fascinated with his android replica in the meeting with the Lord High Admiral in Geneva.
"Yes, yes," the professor said. "I think I'm beginning to understand."
"Could you enlighten me, then?" Maddox asked, having grown weary of talking.
"Excuse me a moment," Ludendorff said.
He went to his sink, turning on a tap, putting his mouth over it, drinking from it like a young boy. He raised his hands afterward, crouched by the sink, and opened a panel. He took out a wafer and ate it. Afterward, he dusted crumbs from his shirt.
"Thank you, my boy," the professor said.
The older man had put his hands behind his back, beginning to pace back and forth beside the separating glass.
"I'm beginning to understand what happened."
Maddox waited. If this was the real Ludendorff, and he had been here since shortly after their time in the Xerxes system, it was amazing the man hadn't become stir-crazy. Maybe he had.
"There used to be more of us," Ludendorff said. "I mean Strand, me, and the other Methuselah men. We're old, much older than anyone suspects. The Builder modified us long ago, well before the space age."
6,000 years ago? Maddox asked. Ludendorff stopped pacing to stare at him.
"Good heavens, my boy, not nearly that old. I'm close to 900 years old. 6,000?
Ludendorff shuddered. "Strand is just as old as you?"
"Give or take a few years," Ludendorff said.
"The Builders modified you, you say?" Ludendorff sighed.
"A single Builder did so. He was the last one. Once,"
the professor shrugged,
"the Dyson Sphere is ancient, much older than the Addox starship. I believe the mass of Builders left long before that time."
"When?"
"Around the time of the swarm invasion of our region of space," Ludendorff said.
The professor marched to his cot, sitting down.
"The Builders are ancient as far as races go. I have no idea as to their origin. In some previous millennia, they fought a timeless war against the makers of the destroyer. Those aliens came from somewhere other than our galaxy. I know little about them, or the timeless war. But it drained the Builders, not physically, but spiritually, I think. They turned the destroyers back in the end, although they captured the one vessel and modified it."
"Why?"
"I have no idea. I just know that after the Timeless War, the Builders changed in a fashion I haven't been able to perceive. Most of them left, A few dabbled with their hobbies. I think that's the best way to view it. The one here traveled around the Orion Arm. He was the last builder in our region of space, a lonely individual with his own program of entertainment.
What was your task?
Eh?
Ludendorff asked. Why did the builder modify you and Strand? What instructions did he give you?
We were conduits for data, giving reports at various intervals. I gave my last report about 500 years ago. At first, we didn't think much about it. The builder often let us go our own way for years at a time. Then it started to become suspicious. Strand and I decided the builder must have died. But we've been cautious all these years, just in case. The builder had left us certain restrictions, you understand. One of them was to leave builder artifacts alone. I do not believe it is happy with either of us.
So, for 500 years, the builder has been doing what? Maddox asked.
Hibernating, I believe.
In the Dyson Sphere?
That makes the most sense, yes.
Ludendorff exhaled in a drawn-out fashion.
You have to understand. The builder always used robots, androids, and other cybernetic tools to advance its program. In this way, the one builder could keep a stellar empire running for as long as its spirit lasted. In retrospect, I think the last builder has grown weary. Many of the robots, androids, and cybernetic toys may have shut down, only coming back online again with the builder's recent revival.
Maddox tried to envision that. What he'd seen before with the silver drones in the Xerxes system when Victory had been chasing the destroyer, and the strange thing trying to control the alien world killer from the inside. The captain looked up. The Dyson Sphere is like a haunted house?
Not exactly, Ludendorff said. The interior surface has its zoo exhibits.
Maddox shook his head. I don't think it's a zoo. When the saucer caught us, we saw endless kilometers of swarm towers, dirt structures.
Really?
The professor said.
Tell me about it.
No, a soft voice said in the air. That is all for now. Maddox raised his eyebrows, studying the professor. The man looked surprised, too. Ludendorff asked Maddox something. The professor's mouth moved, but no words came through the speaker. Maddox approached the glass. He shouted. Ludendorff shook his head, indicating he couldn't hear the words. Maddox pounded on the glass. The professor watched him for a moment. Then the older man shrugged, went to his cot, and lay down. Maddox didn't feel such resignation.
Who are you? He asked into the air. Are you the builder? Why did you want me to come here? Why have you trapped me? What happened to my people?
There was no answer. A moment later, Ludendorff jumped up. He signaled Maddox frantically. The captain nodded. Ludendorff pointed along the edge of his cubicle. Maddox walked to the edge of his, peering down a narrow hall between the next row of glass cages. A large swarm creature approached in the narrow hall. It wore a harness with items hooked to the frame. The blue-colored creature stalked in a jerky manner, like a giant praying mantis. It had mandibles and strange outsized orbs like a mantis, and it had the size of a large cow. The creature stopped before Maddox's cubicle. With a stalk and pincer, it removed a device from its harness, clicking a button. The nearest glass wall slid to the floor. The swarm creature rehooked the device to its harness as it stepped into Maddox's cage. Chapter 42. A number of thoughts tumbled through Maddox's mind. Was everything he had been learning a lie? Did the swarm really control the Dyson Sphere? That was a horrifying idea. But why would the swarm creatures attempt to trick him? There didn't seem to be any useful reason. The only conclusion Maddox could see was that swarm creatures had secretly learned to move through many areas of the sphere. In other words, this was a stealth attack. The captain set himself in a close combat stance. There was nothing in the cubicle to aid him. He didn't see how he could breach the creature's exoskeleton. The praying mantis-like pincers looked deadly. Somehow he had to keep the creature from cutting him in half, or from holding him and nibbling off his face. Maybe his best bet would be a flying kick, breaking a leg joint. If he could cripple the monster, he might be able to squeeze past and run for it. Maddox wiped an arm across his mouth. Maybe even better would be unhooking a few of those items from the harness. Maybe one of them was a weapon. But if that were true, wouldn't the creature use a weapon against him? Maddox made a face. The creature stank. Its exoskeleton glistened. Was that grease it had rubbed on, or a natural secretion? The thing shifted a little more into the cubicle. Maddox flexed his fingers. Maybe it was foolish waiting for it to attack. He needed to take the fight to it. His inner revulsion against the creature troubled the captain. Until now, once he knew to do a thing, he could do it. Yet he found himself reluctant to attack a monster he had little probability of defeating. I need a weapon. The creature brought a weapon to its mandibles, clicking it.
Why do you caper and leer at me? Do you not possess a modicum of sanity?
The robotic-sounding words shocked Maddox. He couldn't comprehend their meaning for a moment. He flinched at the words, believing the attack had come through sound. Bit by bit, though, his mind grabbed onto the words and replayed them.
Is...
Maddox had to concentrate. It was hard ripping himself out of combat mode. He licked his lips, trying again.
Is that a communicator?
The creature clicked the weapon again.
You have correctly analyzed the situation. You possess sanity. I congratulate you.
Slowly, Maddox straightened. He forced his mind to work to analyze as the creature said. Small disks were attached to its thorax. Tiny filament wires went from them to a box with rapidly moving lights. Did the creature hear his response through those?
Who are you?
Maddox asked. The thing moved up and down on its legs, hissing. Maddox backed away until he bumped against glass. The creature clicked the communicator.
You are not a controller to demand information from me. I resist your control attempt.
You tried to control me, Maddox said. You asked about my mental state.
You are non-swarm.
What does that mean? That I'm contemptible?
No, you are not contemptible because you do not rise to swarm status. You lack swarm status. Yet, you compete against the swarm for precious resources. You are an enemy I shall eliminate.
Maddox's lips peeled back and his eyes flashed. His original assessment had been right. The creature scuttled toward him. With a shout, Maddox shoved off the glass. He charged the creature. It flicked a pincer at him. Maddox hurtled the slashing member, with his boot landing on the other side. Propelling himself faster, Maddox also reached out. He grabbed an item on the harness and ripped it free. He leaped as the big creature spun around on its spot in the cubicle. The thing slashed again, but Maddox wasn't there. He rolled several somersaults, going past the spot where the glass wall had slid out of sight. He pressed the device on a likely spot. The glass wall shot up into position, sealing the creature in the cubicle. Maddox stood, panting, staring at the angry creature. It struck the wall to no appreciable damage. It dawned on Maddox that his mind had known which device to grab. He had seen the creature open the cubicle and remembered in a hind part of his mind which device it had used. Some might have called this lucky, but Maddox knew better. Moving in front of the professor's cubicle, Maddox asked what he should do. The professor pointed at his ears, shaking his head. Maddox pointed in either direction, shrugging exaggeratedly afterward. Ludendorff shook his head, no doubt indicating he didn't know the right way to go. The captain glanced at the bug. It watched him avidly. He sauntered in front of it, finally waving. The thing struck the glass so quickly that Maddox jumped back before he could reason that the glass protected him. The captain gestured at the bug, giving it the finger. Then he decided to go in the direction the bug had come, as that implied an exit. Maddox walked down the narrow corridor of glass cages. Other creatures turned toward him, watching. Most of them were other forms of bugs. A few were the small humans. He waved at several. None of them ever waved back. Most of them looked upon him with amazement. He had no idea why. Soon, the sameness of the endless cells caused Maddox to stop. Just how far did these cubicles go? He couldn't see a limit. He glanced at the device again. Had he really picked the right one? That seemed too coincidental. He aimed the device at an empty cage and pressed the switch. Nothing happened. He searched for a setting, but couldn't find one. "Is this a game?" he said into the air. "Are you testing me?" Nothing happened. "I'm right," Maddox said. "This is a test. My asking the question means I've solved another one." "Yes," a soft voice said near his ear. Maddox spun around, but no one was there. "Are you testing my friends, too?" the captain said. "No." "No," Maddox said. "I didn't think so." "Why not?" "Originally, you wanted me to come alone. That means you wanted to see me specifically. Well, how about it? Let's see each other."
"Why did you attempt to open another cell?"
"To check if this device really closed mine earlier," Maddox said.
"Why would you doubt it?"
"How was I able to choose the right device in a moment of high stress?"
"I have been asking myself that for some time. It was most remarkable. I should point out that Commander Thrax T. Ix is even more upset over your superlative escape than you are."
"I'm not upset."
"A poor choice of words, perhaps," the soft voice said.
"You admit to making mistakes?" Maddox asked.
"All life forms are capable of error. Or do you believe that you are immune from the rule?"
"I'm not immune."
"Only the mythical being known as the Creator is immune from error."
Maddox cocked his head. He wasn't sure, but it sounded as if the soft voice held a hint of rancor just now. He filed that away for later. "Tell me more about Commander Thrax T. Ix," the captain said.
"How is that germane to your present situation?"
"He's not a true swarm creature, is he?"
"What causes you to think he is swarm at all?"
"He told me he's a swarm creature."
"Yes."
"And he looks like one," Maddox added.
"And you feel that looks can be deceiving?"
"I've had enough androids turn on me already that I no longer trust looks at all," the captain said.
"When you were aboard your starship outside the sphere, you did not believe the android speaking to you was Ludendorff, did you?"
"No," Maddox said.
"What about the one in the cell?"
"He was real."
"Are you sure?"
the soft voice asked. 100%, Maddox said. The voice did not speak. "I've just passed yet another test," Maddox said. "You're beginning to become impressed with me in spite of everything." Once again, the voice did not respond. "You're welcome," Maddox said.
"I did not say thank you."
"You didn't need to. It was implied."
"You are an arrogant creature."
"Human. I'm human," Maddox said. "That makes me the height of creation."
"You believe in the Creator?" Maddox had been right. The builder
He was fairly sure he spoke to the lone builder, had an issue with the creator. Was this the right time to play that card? The captain couldn't think of a better time.
The creator is self-evident, Maddox said.
Explain such a preposterous belief. Maddox nodded, deciding to goad the builder further. If a being were old and bored, anything to alleviate the boredom would be welcome. That would be his operational logic for this.
It's a simple formula, really, Maddox said in an offhanded manner. When I look at my rifle, I realize someone made it to perform a specific task. If I were to suggest that chance had fashioned my rifle, people would think I'm crazy. Now, take my eye as an example. It is much more complicated than my rifle and also performs a specific task. It is more logical to believe my eye came about through design than believing random chance assembled me over time.
Therefore, what? The voice asked.
Therefore, humans, animals, plants work to a design, which implies a designer, one I choose to call the creator.
Ah, you are so confident, the voice said. You have the advantage of ignorance. I, however, must wrestle with exceedingly great knowledge. My data and reasoning has expanded throughout the millennia. I know so much, so very much.
Are you like my starship's AI?
Insults will not aid you here, Captain.
I meant no insult, Maddox said. Instead, I seek data so I can make the most rational decision regarding you.
The voice was silent.
Does that trouble you? Maddox said.
Your actions are transparent, hybrid.
Maddox stiffened.
Well, 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 the soft voice said. It is true. The term hybrid visibly displeases you. Perhaps that is part of your uniqueness. Yes, you have passed the tests, hybrid. I will bring you to me. Or should I say, the voice murmured, sounding pleased with itself, that Commander Thrax T.X. will escort you to the transfer tube.
Maddox whirled around, seeing the praying mantis creature scuttling fast down the narrow hall toward him. Chapter 43.
I could have bested you,
Commander Thrax T.X. said through its communicator.
It would have saved us time and trouble. Now, go in the direction I show you.
Maddox hesitated, turning his back on the creature.
Go, said the soft voice in the air. Or do you think I am trying to ambush you?
Why do you hate me, Commander? Maddox asked the giant bug. The creature began to quiver.
Do not excite the Commander,
the soft voice said.
Do not seek to interrogate it. The creature reacts badly to that, for reasons of swarm psychology.
Maddox relented, heading in the direction the bug pointed. The trek took 20 minutes of solid walking. During it, the captain kept looking back. He could sense the bug's hatred. That seemed like the right word for it. It was strange, but Maddox had never thought of an ant having emotions before this. Could swarm creatures have emotions? If the commander was an example, he could easily envision it. At last, Maddox went through a garage door-sized exit. He found himself in a huge hall. The commander pointed toward a platform. Maddox soon climbed up it, and so did the bug. A podium rose from the center of the platform. The commander tapped controls. The platform rose as they floated through the giant hallway.
Soon enough, it landed beside a shimmering dome of light, the size of a convenience store on Earth.
"If I ever see you again," Thrax T-X said, "I will tear you apart and squirt on your carcass."
Maddox regarded the creature, which immediately began to quiver. He debated some parting words, but decided that until he had his gun, he would act in a cordial manner. Jumping from the platform, Maddox neared the shimmering dome. The hairs on his arms stood up, and he heard a faint hum. Steeling himself, he plunged through the light and found himself falling down a huge hole. The captain barely suppressed a shout of surprise. Then he composed himself. He would ride this out. He fixated on Meta in his thoughts, wondering how she was doing. He shut his eyes and crossed his arms. The fall continued, unabated. How far could he drop? He must have reached terminal velocity by now. Maddox practiced a calming technique. He wasn't going to let the builder rattle him. This could possibly be the most important interview he'd ever had. According to Ludendorff, this was the last of its kind in the Orion Arm. Maybe others lived elsewhere. This builder appeared to have an army of robots, androids, and cybernetic organisms at its disposal. The professor believed the thing had gone to sleep the last 500 years. Was it good or bad that it had woken up again? I guess that will depend on its goals. Maddox noticed he was slowing down. He opened his eyes and wished he had kept them shut. He felt as if he floated through stellar space. Stars surrounded him, but in patterns and constellations that he'd never seen before. This must be a gigantic chamber kept in weightlessness.
"Captain,"
a soft voice said. Maddox twisted around. He realized that he'd stopped falling and now floated, weightless. With a shock, he saw that some of the star patterns were blocked out. A black outline shape was in the way. Where the head might have been, a series of lights winked. If this was the builder, he couldn't get an accurate idea of what he saw. It was more an absence of sight, which didn't make much sense.
"You are confused,"
the soft voice said. When the words sounded, the winking series of lights brightened the tiniest bit.
"Are you the builder?"
Maddox asked.
"Yes."
"Why can't I see you?"
"Because it is my prerogative as the oldest living thing in the Orion Arm to cloak myself in darkness," the builder said.
Maddox studied the darkness. He couldn't tell if the builder had a humanoid shape or not. Did the thing wear a cloak? Edges of something rippled as if in a breeze, even though this chamber had none. If that wasn't a cape, could it be wings? A feeling of disquiet filled Maddox. Was there another reason why the builder didn't want to show itself? Was its shape hideous to a human? Devilish?
"You really are like monkeys," the builder said. "It is amazing."
"Why did you bring me here?"
"Captain Maddox, it is unseemly that you immediately attempt to interrogate me. I have gone to considerable effort to bring you here at the end. We will enjoy certain decorum. This is a stately affair. I am a builder, the builder as far as you're concerned. Without me, humanity would have been snuffed out ages ago. Without me, a derivative of you would be swinging through the trees, scolding the great cats for daring to dominate the ground."
"Are you claiming divine status?" The builder chuckled softly.
"How you prod and poke, hoping to engage a reaction. I have instructed you, though, to act with decorum. Otherwise, I will teach you a hard lesson. I won't be of any benefit to you or your crew, but it will amuse the commander.
Such boorishness might even persuade me in Thrax T. Ix's favor. I doubt you would appreciate that. Maddox closed his mouth, lest he say more. He looked around at the stars. It finally dawned on him what the builder had said. It, or he, had gone to considerable effort to bring him, Maddox, here at the end. The end of what? Maddox wondered. He didn't like the sound of that. Your silence is much better than your chirping, the builder said. Maddox folded his hands in front of his stomach. He breathed deeply, striving to calm himself. It is awe-inspiring, is it not? The builder said. You mean the stars? Maddox said. I quite agree. I do mean the stars. Maddox held his tongue, unsure about the correct thing to say. He didn't want Thrax T. Ix winning anything. The fact that you and I can be awed by the stars is a sign, the builder said. They show the insignificance of our being. Galaxy upon galaxy awaits intelligent life. We builders have constructed mighty artifacts throughout the Milky Way galaxy. That is your term, by the way, not mine. What is your term, Excellency? Maddox asked in a slow-speaking manner. You would not understand it, but I will say the word nonetheless. The builder spoke, and the words were like a roaring waterfall against Maddox's ears. That was my real voice. For your comfort, I use this one.
I appreciate your consideration, Excellency, Maddox said, his ears ringing.
Very good, Captain. You are a quick study. You have judged the situation and now react correctly. I am glad I took the time to induce you here.
Maddox waited, finally asking, You sent the Shanghai androids and the Ludendorff hologram to me?
Yes.
You believed I wouldn't come unless you acted as the professor?
You do not need to ask me that, as you already know the answer. Please, Captain, don't make these moments tedious. They are among my last, and I prefer to enjoy them.
Would you... Maddox hesitated. It was time to think as never before. This wasn't about action, but about thought. It was intelligence work. He was uniquely gifted among the operatives of Star Watch Intelligence to use this opportunity. Yes, it was time to revert to form. He was an intelligence officer, primarily. Drawing a gun to blast his way out of an error had become his usual method lately. Today, he must think and choose his path with care.
Excellency, when did you first come to Earth?
It was during the swarm explosion.
Approximately 6,000 years ago?
7 to 8,000 Earth years ago, the builder said. Yes, I built Atlantis for my use and allowed others to copy the pyramid. That was my original error. I interfered with your species' development. I deeply regret that.
You didn't fashion any Methuselah people at that time?
I did, but they died out. I hadn't yet discovered certain important processes. Extended life produces problems. Every so-called improvement causes problems to appear. It took me a long time to realize it was more than simply accounting for entropy.
During the swarm explosion is when you went to the ADOC system?
It is so, the builder said with a sigh.
Do you regret that action as well,
Excellency?
Deeply, the builder said.
The Addocs would have perished without you.
They perished with my help. In the end, it made no difference.
Your help also destroyed a swarm invasion.
If you only knew,
the builder said softly. Humanity needs the ancient starship now. Without...
No,
the builder said, the word hardening in the air.
I have done enough damage. Before I leave, I will rectify some of my worst errors of the past.
Do you refer to the Addoc starship?
Of course, the builder said. That was my other reason for bringing you here. I want Starship Victory back.
Maddox frowned. Will you destroy the starship?
No, no, the builder said. You know nothing about my crimes. Doesn't my name imply construction?
Yes, Maddox said.
Yes, I have destroyed in a monstrous fashion. I have become the very thing my people loathed and fought against for what seemed forever.
Do you refer to the timeless war against the makers of the destroyer? The builder groaned as if in deep agony. It seemed to grow then, to blot out more stars. The sound also grew louder. Maddox clapped his hands over his ears. Slowly, the keening dwindled, and so did the extent of the star blockage. Maddox experimentally removed his hands from his ears.
Have you no pity, Captain Maddox? Do you hate me that much for having to clear my slate before the Creator?
I don't hate you at all, Maddox said.
You will.
Maddox didn't like hearing that. Will you kill Meta and the others?
Yes.
And me?
Yes, the builder said.
Do you bear me malice?
None, the builder said.
You're right. I do not understand. I would consider it a blessing if you told me.
You are quick with your barbs, Captain. I can well understand why the new men hate you. They will win the war, you realize. They are the future of humanity. There is no stopping it now.
I hope to prove you wrong.
I know, the builder said. I can forgive you that. You do not see the big picture. You look out only for your own well-being.
Yes, Maddox said. I suppose that's another way that I'm just like you. The builder did not respond. Maddox practiced his breathing. He felt as if the great contest was about to begin. He had to change the builder's mind. Maddox needed victory, and he had to return to human space. Whatever this ancient being had done, Maddox wasn't going to let the builder get in the way.
A long time ago,
the builder said in a heavy voice,
we fought the Nameless Ones. They constructed the destroyers. Those were mighty engines of annihilation. I realize you are among the few to understand that. The Nameless Ones sought out life, snuffing it out for reasons we could never fathom. That was a terrible thing, to fight others awesomely powerful like ourselves. Yet we could not communicate with them other than by dealing them death or dying in turn. That long time of battle demoralized us as a people. We rose up to stop the horror here. I do not know what happened in other galaxies.
The Nameless Ones came from outside our galaxy?
Maddox asked. It is almost inconceivable, I realize. The distances involved, and for no positive reason. They were all too sane, you understand. But they worshipped annihilation. To them, life was evil, and they stamped it out. The builder sighed. You destroyed the destroyer, Captain. I am awed at your exploit. Many have desired to do what you did, but among the weaker races, only you achieved the impossible. That is why I brought you here, Captain. Before the end, I wanted to meet the one who had done the unimaginable. Whatever you are or are not, you did wonderfully that day. Maddox said nothing. That ancient war against the Nameless Ones was so far in the past. We turned them back. We saved life in our galaxy. We should have quit then and gone our way, having done our duty to the Creator. But we could not. We grew vainglorious at our deed. We built in grandeur everywhere. We brought knowledge to planet after planet. We coaxed species after species to advance to new heights. Oh, we believed we were the gift to the universe. We believed that up until the time we picked up the tools of genocide and tarnished our souls with black annihilation upon those who were not builder. Maddox waited, listening, using every mnemonic device he could so he would remember everything he learned today. Builders acted as judge and jury. We killed by the trillions. That stained our souls so fast, so very fast. I do not know why I was immune the longest. Perhaps I was the boldest, always considered the best warrior and strategist among us. I remained here while everyone else departed in despair and shame. Still, Maddox waited. I used to believe it was the curse of the Nameless Ones upon us. Now I see that the sin was in our hubris. We believed we could decide which species was good and which was bad. Can you conceive of such gross arrogance? Easily, Maddox said. We had ranged through the stars. The builder fell abruptly silent. What did you say? I can easily imagine such arrogance, because it sounds quite logical, Maddox said, even practical to me. I would gladly decide what species is good and bad in relation to my own.
But that is monstrous.
Perhaps if you gave me a concrete example, I could understand better and see the error of my thinking.
I'm unsure if you're exalted enough to understand.
Ah, Maddox said. You are wise and I am a dullard, is that it?
You are a clever talker, the builder said. You seek to turn my own words against me. Perhaps I shall tell you. Maybe you've earned it. Your brilliance helped destroy a thing we builders had been unable to do. It wasn't for a lack of ability, but desire. It all seems to come down to desire, doesn't it?
Maddox waited, unsure what lid he'd torn off. We used the tool left behind by the Nameless One. I designed the control unit that would allow us to wield the genocidal machine.
It happened 6,000 years ago, after the sacrificial Adok defense. We watched the swarm annihilate a race. It was horrible. Some of us spoke boldly, saying we should have interfered directly. Why had we held back from war? We had stopped the Nameless Ones. Why couldn't we use our might to stop the scourge of the swarm? You wielded the destroyer against them? Maddox asked. In star system after star system, the Builder said sadly. We brought the destroyer to bear, annihilating nest after nest. We burned the swarm from 1,000 worlds, creating a dead zone between what you now call human space and the beyond, versus regions closer to your galaxy's center. We gave your species ample room. If we had not, the swarm would have reached Earth in time. Your species would have died under the swarm occupation. Thank you, Maddox said. Your words are teeth, biting with sarcasm. You are in error, Builder. I mean, thank you, with all my heart. If you had not acted, I would never have been born. Yes, yes, I realize that. But who were we, Captain, to play creator like that? Are you asking me to feel bad about existing? No, no. That would be illogical. You failed to grasp. A loud waterfall sound washed against Maddox. Once more, he clapped his hands over his ears. Captain, the Builder said. Maddox slowly removed his hands. I did not mean to let you hear that. My pain and guilt is deep. You have no idea. How could you? You are young and short-lived. You strive during the entirety of your meaningless existence. You will excuse me if I disagree with you about its meaninglessness, Maddox said. We annihilated trillions of swarm creatures, pushing their boundaries back 1,000 light-years. We wanted to give others a chance to flourish. We... Builder, Maddox said. Why do you interrupt me? I am bearing my soul to you. You said you drove the swarm boundaries back 1,000 light-years? That is correct. You mean there is a giant swarm empire out there somewhere? Oh, yes. It encompasses nearly 1/10 of our galaxy. A cold feeling settled on Maddox. This was grim news. Then he realized something else. If the swarm is so prevalent, why are you so sad about slaying a few in the past? Because I slaughtered life, the Builder said. Don't you understand by now? I thought you were quick-witted. Successful life is what matters, not merely life that has a similar image as us. What do you mean by successful life? Yes, that is the crux of the matter, the Builder said. It is the equation I've finally solved. 500 years ago, I could bear no more, but I hesitated taking the final step. So I tried another way, hoping that time might heal my wounds. I shut down the majority of my systems. I hibernated, letting my experiment mature. Moving the destroyer from what you call the Xerxes system sounded an alarm, so I awoke. What I found on the Dyson sphere, see, I know your term for it. Maddox nodded. I discovered a nearly complete swarm conquest of the entire sphere. The Builder said, I had placed a small swarm colony here before heading for slumber. I also put humans on the sphere. They are nearly dead. A small colony of scientists and soldiers using ancient Adok technology to hold the onrushing swarms at bay. I give the humans 2 years more at most. Then they will succumb to the swarm hordes. Then the swarm will have conquered the Dyson sphere. And you conclude what from that? Maddox asked. It is an obvious conclusion. You should see it clearly. But I understand you are too species conscious to understand the stark reality. The swarm is more worthy to survive than humanity. It is that simple. They have passed the test. What does that have to do with victory and me? I have collected thousands of starships in the past. I brought them through the sphere, so they are drifting in the inner side of space at a Venus-like orbit from the star. Thrax TX will lead a new and improved swarm upon the galaxy to go to his brethren and give them what you call Lahmer Drive technology.
Why would you do that?